Turn with me this morning in Isaiah chapter 5. Brothers and sisters, I want to preach a message this morning. I pray that I can say things wisely and with enough knowledge of what's going on that you will see something is about to take place in this world that you and I live in. Now, the man of the world that has no ambition, no desire to have anything to do with God or to even think about it, you're not going to prove to them anything, especially the younger ones, because in their minds they have nothing to compare present with how it's been previous. Some of you young people may say, well, that preacher, he's just an old man. He's outdated. He's becoming cranky. And he's just not up to date. I'm glad I'm not up to date, because I find that being up to date is leading millions into trouble. Everything in the world about you is testifying somebody is messed up. There are more messed up this morning than there are that's got any kind of peace or happiness at all. The percentage of unhappy people today is at an all-time proportion. You know why? Last week, when our local newspaper came out, in the year of 1988, there had been 232 marriages. But in 1988, there had been 227 divorces. Now, you can't tell me that a divorce makes people happy. Something's gone wrong somewheres. It isn't with God. It isn't with His Word. It's with man himself. Man is a sinner. But you try to convince the man of the world that he is. He compares himself with others. He refuses to look at an image of something that he feels that he stands in need of something that has to come from a source that he's not been born with. In Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to read a picture. This picture is a description of Israel many centuries ago. To you young people today, I ask you, from what little bit you read of history about the Jewish people, secular histories tell you that at one time they lived in a land called the land of Israel, which is called Palestine today. The Romans gave it that name. They have been in dispersion for what reason? Were they a nomadic people? No. They were in dispersion, have been in dispersion because God drove them into it. The question is, why did He do it? He gave them a homeland. He chose them to be a light and an example to other nations. His plan and purpose was that through that Jewish nation, Gentile nations might see something exemplified in hopes that it would help straighten up of their conduct and their social characters. But over a few short centuries, the Israelite people did, just like many so-called Christians have done in America. The Bible lost its meaning. It was no longer a book attracted. It became a book to gather dust, either in the closet or in the bedroom somewheres. We've said before, America is falling. You've got to be blind to not recognize it. Don't judge it, brothers and sisters, because how many men we put on the moon. That's a very cheap item. That has its place in the secular world, but it adds little to its longevity when it comes to national image and time that's left. History proves that every nation that did in its era reach a high peak of culture, its own sins was what brought it down. It happened to Egypt. It happened to the Babylonian Empire. It happened to the Persian Empire. None of these empires was ever able to rescue itself and restore it back to any peak. Or it existed as a people, but not as a great power. It happened to the Romans. The Romans gave to the world, in the Gentile structure, a certain form of government, which other empires hadn't. And when Rome reached its peak, its sins brought it down. If you would read in secular history, and I mean in some of the library histories, which record many of the everyday events in Roman government and what went on in the social life of those politicians, you would see America today. Politician against politician. Perversions of every description. Drunkenness, reveling, and human life becomes a cheap item in the arena of entertainment. And Rome went down. Still exists as a city, but it's no longer an influential factor in the world. Time moves on. America was discovered because the old world, there were people in it, striving and struggling, reaching out somewheres for a hope, a ray of light, that they could get a closer contact with God. Because Europe had so long been infested with Catholicism. And because of Catholicism, the social side of things deteriorated. When God started the Reformation, Europe, for the first time, began to move out of the darkness. Of spiritual darkness as well as material and social darkness. But it was when this little wasteland, wilderness, continent was discovered, those people eventually came. Some came to seek a fortune. Others came to have a place to be free to worship God. And for several decades, this nation grew out of a wilderness, just like Israel did when they went in and took the land. When they took the land and began to really seek God, God blessed them. But when you read the Judges, brothers and sisters, you read all the tragedies and things that happened when they dared to turn their back away from God. So America today, it's done past its peak. You'll never see America. I don't care how much you cry, how much you educate it. This nation is sliding and going fast. There isn't a legislator. There is not a president nor a congressman that's going to stand for anything to restore America back to its original identity. Her sins have reached unto heaven. Trouble lies ahead. God will tolerate sin within a nation so long, and He'll deal with the people of that generation so long. But when He turns His back on it, there is trouble ahead. Now from our setting here, naturally, what happened is how God saw Israel many centuries ago. But I see America today through the same picture. Let me read. Isaiah 5, beginning in the 18th verse. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Now this language is symbolic. It's the descriptions of certain type of influential people who are influencing the nation. But the influence they have is all within the realm of iniquity. There's not a natural rope in this. No, there's not a natural spring in it. It's a symbolic language. And sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Now, naturally, this is an English translation. I'm going to read it to you as it's translated from the Hebrew Bible. Woe to them that spin out their iniquities like a long rope. Ain't that a picture of dignitaries today? Imagine a man going down through life with a great big long rope tied to him. And every wrong thing he does, it just keeps unfolding and gets longer and longer. I want to apply that in its practical sense. Down in Austin, Texas, there's a man in prison. Has been there for several years now. He's facing death penalty. Certain lawyers and philosophers are saying, we should not give him the death penalty because mentally he is incapable of thinking right. He only has the mentality of a 7-year-old. That's pure nonsense. That's somebody just blabbing. Because they don't have God nor God's laws in mind at all. And the more they blab, it just becomes another long rope flowing for somebody to trip over their own evil doings. A 7-year-old boy don't even have the knowledge of doing what he did. How many know what I'm talking about? That's nonsense. One reason we have a sick society is because we've got a bunch of liberal-minded, anti-God, anti-everything. They become so humanitarian in one way and yet so devil-possessed in another way. Oh, they're not drunks. But their mind has no concept of virtue and what virtue really is. And I'll tell you something else, brothers and sisters. If this nation keeps on going the route it's going, we're going to have more deviates, mental retarded, incapacitated children born to us, because we brought it on by our own willful choice that we love sin better than righteousness. I remember, brothers and sisters, and you young people, when the Clark County Jail was a small place, but it wasn't crowded. There was no need for it to be crowded. But everything is crowded and running over today. And they're crying as they bring him in the front door. They push him out the back door. Why? Because we've got a sick nation. Mathematics ain't going to cure it. Geometry is not the answer. Chemistry won't even touch it. We've got to get back to certain basics. That there is a law in this universe. God established it. And it's the only thing that makes the spirit of man realize when you step across the borderline or the marginal of right and wrong, somewheres you have to pay the penalty. I'm glad there are certain laws man can't change. One of them is the law of gravity. Wonder why some activists don't get in motion and change that. You know why? We'd have every Tom, Dick, and Harry exploring space, and they'd be more junk up there than what there is. Man was made to walk on the face of this earth, to live here. I'm not against men going to the moon, don't get me wrong. There's one thing sure. Man wasn't made to live in water like a fish. Try it. And man wasn't made to play with fire. You're going to get burned. That's the law of it. These are things that God kept that way. Now as we go on this morning, that say, now verse 19 is how people of that hour and of this hour are talking in relationship as to how they might perceive God to be. If there is such a thing, there is a God. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work. Our scientists, our evolutionists today are, well, if there is a God, let him show himself some way. Otherwise, we're going to pursue our course just the way we're doing. That we may see it. God don't have to prove himself to you for nothing. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. In other words, let him come and talk to us. Didn't Russia say that when they sent up the first satellite that circumferenced the earth? They come back. We didn't see him. No, but one of these days they will. But they will see him in the wrong perspective. Because if they can't recognize him in creation and in mercy, then they will have to recognize him in wrath, because God's word says, all knees shall bend, every head shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is. God will bring them down. The great day of the Lord's judgment and wrath foretells how the rich, the mighty, the weak and everything will flee and hide from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. and say to the rocks and mountains, fall on us, hide us from him. They'll be running away to get away from the thing they say now that don't even exist. They can't find him. All right? Verse 20. This went on in the days of Israel when she was dispersed. But this morning in 1989, right in this nation, there are philosophers, there are influential leaders, political men, who are voicing this same type of a thing. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. Well, the Bible says in Romans, there is no good in man. Well, if there's no good in man, what's this talking about? The point is this. Christianity came to the Gentile world 1900 and some years ago. It was God's good news to us filthy pagan idolaters, whose way of life was all turned upside down. And that's why we're going back to it. Because as the Spirit of God lets up, that's why, as the Holy Spirit lets up its convicting, restraining force in the world of evil, then the tides of Satan come right back in to fill the vacuum that it once was kept out of. So today, brothers and sisters, we have carnal-minded people that are ready to say, when we're trying to compare the virtues of Christendom and what it has left upon humanity in time, there was a moral image. There was a moral standard of human conduct and behavior established, accepted, and adhered to. Those good qualities were things that the grace of God did to and through an element of people. God did it so that it would keep an element of people from becoming so polluted that his wrath was compelled, would be compelled to destroy it. This is why, brothers and sisters, I can say 40 years ago, it was not like it is now. I know you teenage children, you have no way of proving that. I lived when many old timers didn't even have cars. It's impossible for me to have told older ones how it might have been when there was no such a monster on the road that scared horses to pieces. But they used to say when Model T's first began to come down the old wagon and buggy roads, they had runaways, frightened horses jerked loose. Even people were injured because they had runaways. It caused some of the old time people to say, them things is of the devil. Look what it's done. But after a while, the horses begin to get used to that clankety-clang thing coming down the road. And time moved on. I'm just merely saying this morning. Sometimes it's hard to relate things to a younger generation. Having never seen, having never lived, and having nothing in their mind to compare present with the past. But I can say, young ones, this morning, God's good news of salvation is the only thing that's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble and heartache and sorrow. No matter how much religion wants to water it down, dilute it, and say, well, this don't mean this, that don't mean that, and this ain't this, and that ain't that. It is it. This is a day when the virtuous Christian life is evilly thought of in the educated world. I remember when at least once a year a preacher usually would come and give a sermon in the auditorium, and the whole school sat there. We didn't yell out, "Oh, I believe in separation of church and state." And they were Catholics, and they were Protestants, and they were non-conformed church-going people sitting there, kids. There was no argument. What's going on today is a trick of the devil, and most people ain't got sense enough to see through the trick. Amen. I sat right behind a Catholic girl that was a very loyal Catholic girl in her belief. She would come on the public bus. She would go to her church for Mass. And she would sometimes come in 30 or 40 minutes later. The teacher never said anything, and none of the other students said anything. What's going on? It's a trick of the devil to get everything turned upside down. Because the main thing is, use religion in any shape or form, get this out of there, and then we'll close the door to society, and then we will program and control the minds of the up-and-coming generation of youth. No, they don't care if you follow a child into the world, but they don't want you to have enough of influence to dictate to the child how they should dress, how they should go to the school. You feed the child. You clothe the child. If it gets sick, take it to the doctor. Don't you abuse it. Don't you beat it. If he comes with a finger mark on it, we'll get you for child abuse. But we are going to control its mind. And when they get done, they've done told that child in certain ways, your daddy and mommy don't know what they're talking about. It's not right for them to force religion on you. Well, it's not right for them to force their rotten, stinking stuff upon my child. If you want it, feed it. If you want it, clothe it. But if I'm responsible for its physical existence, then I'll be responsible to God for the outcome of its soul, which you did denounce. That's the battle we're having today. That's what the world is faced with. But can you get the educative world to agree with you? Not one bit. But I remember the time 40 years ago. Young people. We had no young girls sitting in our class pregnant. Oh, you're telling me they didn't tell dirty jokes back then? They did. You know why? They were sinners. They were sinners. But Christendom had left enough of influence which said, you cross the marginal line, you will pay the debt. And whenever you did hear about a young girl or a young boy, once them two realized they had gone too far, something got a hold of them, and it wasn't the principal of the school. It was usually their daddies that took them and sat down. Then you'll get married. Now society says, that isn't right to force it when maybe they don't love each other. And when you talk like that, you stepped across the law of God. You've stepped across the law of God. And you just as well spit in his face to deny it. I remember, brothers and sisters, kids didn't carry switchblade knives. Too poor to even own one. And they got the hide skinned off of their back if they had a little old pocket knife. And did threaten a kid when they got home and dad found out about it. You can rest assured. They'd have got the hide skinned off of their back. And there wouldn't have been some social worker coming. We understand you've done this to your son. We're going to arrest you for child abuse. In fact, if some social worker went into the sheriff's office and said it, he said, get out of here with your silly story. That's that man's responsibility. At least he didn't kill him. And I can say this, young people. At what time in life I did go to school, I never did see a child come to school that showed the marks of a parent that has abused him. Once in a while you'd hear of a boy, dad gave me a whipping last night. But he wasn't limping. He didn't have a broken leg nor a broken arm. Why? Because society in general had sense enough to know where the stopping line is to correction.
Amen.
But when some wise brain, both a man and a woman, had the idea, we're going to reprogram this American people. We're going to change the American image. We're going to prepare them for the real 21st century. You didn't know. You were just open the floodgates of hell. And getting ready to herd them through the gate to destruction. From Congress to the educative institutions to the local governments, right on down the line, this is a day. They don't want a thing of a true Christian influencing their outlook as to how they function and meet or cast their decisions as to how to participate or activate their local facilities. All because of that. Then the good that Christendom has done and has accomplished through centuries of time, now it's a hated item. This is exactly why, brothers and sisters, we come to an hour like this, when now some of your talk show hosts, as they interview people from different sides of the conflict that's going on. A woman a few days ago was heard giving her testimony. She spent 13 years in jail. Because she kidnapped her own child and took him away from her husband, who was a pervert. When she was finally traced down and caught, did the law defend her convictions and feelings? Did the law read the child in the light of the father's lifestyle? No. Evil triumphed over good. That goes right back to the case in California that took place several years ago. The woman knew that her child was suffering mentally and psychologically, having to live with her father, who was living with a lover, another man. There was a big court case. In the final analysis, brothers and sisters, she lost. Why? leaders. People who administer leadership, whether it's through law, whether it's through politics or what. Now, good has become an evil item. Bad influence. They want to instill in the human society that from birth up, everybody ought to be left to choose. And that's exactly why we have got more runaways today, dropouts in school, than we've ever had. This you cannot blame it on poverty. That's nonsense. I wasn't too old when we had the other depression of 29, 30, and 31. But I'll tell you, we were so poor. If we got one ice cream cone a year, we was licking on heaven. And only had one pair of shoes. In the summertime, we went barefooted to make them shoes last as long as possible. And when we went to church, Mother would polish them shoes. And I'll never forget, we lived one place up an old holler, 3 miles to Borden, right down an old creek road. We carried them shoes all the way to the railroad track. And through the last water hole, we'd wash our feet off and put our shoes on. I see very few happen to live like that today. And my generation, it didn't make gang robbers out of them. No. We grow up with a different picture in our mind because we came from homes that had influenced us. Even our schools was taught by teachers. Oh, we didn't know too much then about space flights. Didn't know a whole lot about jet airplanes. But I tell you, the teachers knew a whole lot about right and wrong. And there was very few of the girls that I went with then ever got in trouble. Does this mean they were saints? No. Angels? No. But it means this. They have learned, as they were born in homes, and homes having been influenced by a national code and an overall image of what's right and what's wrong, they didn't want to wind up on the wrong side of the tracks nor on the wrong side of the fence. That didn't keep them from sometimes going behind the doors and maybe telling little dirty things that shouldn't have been told. But deep inside there was an inner something. Don't go too far. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They don't walk like that today. I'm going to have a good time. Dad, you shut your mouth. Mom, you don't know a thing about it. You didn't tell Dad shut his mouth years ago. For you knew it, he'd have his foot sticking in it. And you couldn't run to the law and say, Dad stuck his foot in my mouth. The law would have said, good, stick around here and I'll stick mine in there too. Now I know this morning, young people, you may think I am just exaggerating. I am not exaggerating the picture. I'm telling you, I may not be alive when this thing hits this nation, But your eyes is going to fill one day with tears. And your heart's going to jump up inside of you and wonder, my God, what's going on in this world? I'm afraid. When I was a kid, if you did get to come to the town and you'd walk side of the bank, you didn't see a security guard standing in there. Didn't need one. Why do you have to see security guards standing in our malls today? Somebody bred this thing up. Somebody wanted it to be like this. God had done something for our society to eliminate these evil things. But now we have to pay to be guarded. Even the police departments aren't big enough to get to all the department stores. So they have to hire their own security. And they're limited. This is the day evil is the order. This is the evil day. This is the day that Jesus said in Luke's gospel, watch ye therefore and pray that that day come not upon you unaware, for as a snare. Satan said it. He made the whole thing. And now he baited it. All with sweet, juicy looking deeds and acts and conduct that look thrilling to young minds that are innocent. But there is young people today crying. Crying! There's teenage children today behind bars crying, why am I here? It wasn't so 40 years ago. Yes, they call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light. That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Yes, World War II was no sooner over. I believe the devil in this nation knew that this American society has now reached a place and time he will make his stab. Well, he had a few liberal-minded philosophers, politicians that slowly have been elected into office, but somehow or other they, every time they opened their mouth, they were somehow or other always silenced by the majority who thought the other way. But they flowered their speeches up with all kinds of good. But if this was done, what good it could, how good it would taste. Here comes sex education in the school. No sooner did it start, it wasn't long. Teenage kids, girls began to come up pregnant. Before the war, if a girl ever did such a thing, she automatically was denied. Now you young ones, you young mothers may sit there and look at me and say, but that ain't right. It is right. I'm not mad, but I'm going to make my point. Because I know they don't. Only to do wrong. Since we're sinners, except by the grace of God. It's not man's nature to do right unless he's been molded to think in the right way. The very minute then, schools, officials, school boards
begin to think different. It's because the spirit of the day was now moving. Now they can come to school. Now that they come to school, they're walking through the corridors. Week by week, they get bigger. Do you think that girl, every time she comes and she feels like throwing up, that she runs outside and hides? No. What's the rest of her classmate think? It isn't long, they know the whole story from A to Z. Because we're sinners. 10 years later, our schools have become incubators for a spirit. And in fact, a newer generation of teachers begin to join the ranks, which begin be Satan's reinforcements to this. We're going to change this educated picture here. By the time we come to the 60s, we've got a crazy woman. I said a crazy woman in this nation that hates God. And she'd go to bed with a hog. I've heard her talk on TV. She thinks less of virtue than an old sow does. And she'd like to be the one that have this young generation following her. She succeeded in getting the U.S. Supreme Court to pass and make an amendment. Prayer will be taken out of school. When it was. Now, darkness becomes light. And how great the darkness settled. Then there's the newer generation of teachers who wanted to join the ranks of these sex educators. Then here come literature, graphic drawings, then movies, then slides. The animal kingdom don't need to be educated. You don't either. This nation was doing a pretty good job up till 40 years ago. And now when we've got a rotten tooth and a headache goes with it. And you know it. There's only one thing that could ever change it and reverse it. Get back to what God said. Step across His laws, you're going to pay the penalty of it. Don't tell me how right anything is if you don't coincide with this book. It don't exist. Any boy, any girl needs sex education as bad as a dog does until they begin to come in to womanhood and manhood. That's when the Jews taught it. How many understand what I mean? An 8-year-old girl don't need it, and neither does a 10-year-old boy. A little girl needs to be playing with dolls, acting like a girl, dressing like a little girl. But now then, when they're 13, they want to look like they're 19, but ain't got the brain of a 5-year-old. Mentally undeveloped. And your psychiatrists today are telling society these 12 and 13-year-old girls coming up pregnant are mentally unprepared for the role of being a mother. Well, it started right in the systems that educate such stuff. I want to tell you something. Come here, sonny. Just stand right here. Don't be be scared. There's a time in this boy's life. From the time he's born. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. His mind don't need to know certain things. His mind is innocent. When that mind too early is exposed to things that he's not mentally capable of handling, can do him more harm than good. It's when he begins to reach a certain age then when those things are put in his mind, he begins to see himself through that in a different perspective. It's no longer a curious thing. He sees it to be a fact and not something to play with. You can take your seat. You let a child, a 4 or 5 year old child, a boy, sitting in the floor watching a movie on TV. It's a Western. And seeing them men shooting with a 45. Pow, pow, pow. There's a fantasy gets a hold of him, isn't there? To him, it's a play. He just wants to play in a mimic maybe what they're doing in the natural. Is it wrong for him to have a cap pistol? No. But for goodness sakes, don't give him a loaded 45. Just because adults use them don't mean that a child is to use them. It won't work. And let me say this, young mothers and religionists. I know back before World War II, we had religions. Both in the Pentecostal side and from the Amish side. They didn't want their children, their sons, going to war. They wouldn't let them have a toy gun. It's evil. We don't believe in violence. Well, no human being that's raised up and taught the right things does either. But this world is a sinful world. And you're not going to keep all the Hitlers in the grave. Because there's one born every day. You're not going to keep all the Mussolinis in the outhouse. There's one born every day. I saw young boys come from homes. Never handled a gun. As long as that rifle was empty. But not a thing said. But the day said, we're going to take you to the firing range. I saw big boys, bigger than I was, crying. Because he had never carried a gun. He had never shot one. And somehow or other, he had a fear that that thing would go off and tear him to pieces. Brothers and sisters, I'll say this. Whatever films was made back in the 30s and the early 40s about Jesse James and John Dillinger and Al Capone and that bunch, they were made to carry the right lesson that crime don't pay. But they don't program him today to show that crime don't pay. It is all programmed to give a bunch of wild teenage boys that it's a thrill and it's a fantasy and I want to get in there and see what I can do. Oh, sure, eventually they get blown to pieces in a burning car fleeing from the police. But the whole thing, brothers and sisters, is an ill-perverted, tossed upside down. Did you know we have a society today perverted on both sides of the fence, divided? Now, I'm standing here talking to you and trying to tell you our nation is in a mess. Young people, the minute you step out that door and get in that car and go home, if you live in town or if you live in the country and you go to school tomorrow, you're going to face kids that come from homes. Dad cusses, mom cusses, dad smokes, mom smokes, dad drinks, she smokes. They fuss and fight like cats and dogs. And the kids come to school mimicking and doing just exactly what dad and mom does. Therefore, if your little boy comes home using a word he heard, where did he learn it at? School. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, I heard a few mouths when I went to school say a few words, but if that was ever reported to the teacher, that was a no-no. That was one of them things. It might not be written in the textbook, but most teachers were told by the parents, I want you to keep a finger on my kid. If you hear him cussing, doing something wrong, you give him a whipping if it's necessary, you thump him on the head, or you pull his ear, do something. The scene's been changed. Sweet's bitter. Bitter becomes sweet. And now then, I just heard the statistics here the other day. Over 1,200,000 abortions occur every year in America. All because young girls are exposed to an education and an environment wherein there is no teaching from right and wrong. And then when they pass a law that any young girl, if she does become pregnant, she ought to be able to go to a clinic under the guidance of a social worker. See the devil's trick? These social workers are not Christians and they don't give a dime about dad and mom. When dad and mom, he paid the hospital bill when she was born. Mother went through the agonizing pains of giving birth to her. Mother nursed her, fed her, took her to the doctor when she was sick, raised her up, paid for her books, and now her mind has been warped by that rotten system that she didn't need. And now the girl is in the hand of a social worker. They both ought to be put in the river and flushed down into the ocean. Oh, yes, you may look at me this morning and say, Brother Jackson, you've gone crazy. No, I haven't. I'm looking the thing straight in the face. It's coming after you. It's going to gobble you up. It's knocking at the door. Amen. Jesus, come. Get your people out of this stinking house. Then we've got thousands of little girls. At least they've got the nerve to go home and tell mommy. You don't know the tears that's being shed today and tonight, tomorrow. And you don't know the heart attacks that come upon daddies that meant good with good intentions. When they find out that their little jewel not only has her mind been warped, but her virtue has been defiled by the spirit of the day. What a bitter taste it leaves in some people's mouth. But it's sweet in the philosophers. How many see the difference? Heartache comes to dad. Mommy, what are we going to do? We've been well thought of. Now our child brings reproach upon us. Sin is a reproach to any nation, the Bible says. There's a penalty coming. How close it is, I don't know. Whether it's a tidal wave, an earthquake, or something's going to come, and God's going to sink something some of these days so deep in the ground, archaeologists would never find it in a million years. It'll be as worth as Sodom and Gomorrah, laying in the bottom of the Dead Sea. Our nation in 40 years has produced two generations of children. Now listen to what I'm saying and the way I say it. Not all children been born in the last 40 years come from an illegitimate relationship. And you the people that know me, you know me long enough to know that I got sense enough to recognize a human being. But I also got sense enough to know there's a law behind this whole thing. Somebody is going to get messed up one of these days. And it ain't Raymond Jackson going to do it either. You keep it up. Keep it up, brothers and sisters. Break the law of God. Keep it up. Some of those children that was born 38 years ago by illegitimate relationship, somehow or other they grew up in a orphan's home. They did not have the parental guidance of a daddy and a mother to supervise them. And to pass on to them the knowledge of what a home established under God is to be like. They grew up as a human being to do anything you can to survive in this miserable pest house world. If that's steal, I'll steal. Lie, I'll lie. And every one of them brought in two or three more just like them. How many understand what I'm saying? You know it's the fact. The statistics prove it. Few of them eventually wind up in homes to be influenced in the old ways of a Christian environment. Now we've got thousands that know not what it is to be loved by daddy. And we've got thousands that know not what it is to be loved by mother. And some of them are working in your social workhouses. Right down here at the Jeffersonville Hospital, there's a certain department that takes care of what they call mental patients. People mentally problems. Especially children, teenagers. I know of two children. How sad it is. That was advised. Get out. Get away from home. Mix with young people. And especially the one boy was told, get with young girls and enjoy your intimate life. You're going to help things, ain't you? psychiatrist to talk like that, he is crazy. He is just passing far along. You change the law of God, that God will change you one of these days. He'll let you go long enough until you get so far up in a dead-end alley, and then he'll close in on you. Well, brothers and sisters, my time's running out. I want you to go back to the third chapter of Isaiah. In the third chapter, as the prophet Isaiah was prophesying, he saw the terrible moral and social image and things going on in the streets of Jerusalem in his day. He knew eventually something would have to come, that God would not tolerate this thing. Look with me in the 11th verse of the third chapter. And let's take it out of the Jewish realm some 2,600 years ago. And let's bring it into our century as we face the 21st century. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him. Did you know, brothers and sisters, in the book of Daniel, in the 12th chapter, as Daniel looked down through time and wrote about these last days, he said these words, "The wicked shall do wickedly, but the wise shall understand." And for goodness sakes this morning, brothers and sisters, let's cultivate our minds and realize, I'm not interested how to get to the moon, but I am spiritually interested how to get my soul ready for the translation out of this miserable, stinking pest house of human beings that don't want it any different. They love it like this. Or at least, they're going to have to love it, or else open up their mouths and say something about it. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill for him. That's God's pronounced penalty upon him. For the reward of his hand shall be given him. His hour's coming. As for my people, now that was a nation of Israel. But I apply this 12th verse to America. In God we trust. Ain't that something? When the nation as a whole has more confidence in our satellites in space than they do the God. I know one thing. There's an all-seeing eye in space watching this country. And you may think I'm silly. Russia can knock out these man-made eyes, but they can't knock that one out. I'm not saying that America shouldn't have them there. But we better realize this. If he gave us, our scientists, the knowledge how to make these eyes, then our scientists and our leaders ought to look beyond those electronic eyes and say, Heavenly Father, you guide this nation. You see things in the spirit world. Warn us when the devil is leading us in the wrong way. Because the devil is stalking our streets. 40 years ago, Satan was limited as to what he could do and what he couldn't do. We did not have teenage gangs shooting each other down on the streets. You know it's true. Young people, if you want to survive your hour, make up your mind. There's places in this world you'll never be seen. Say it now. Amen. You say, I'm as close as I'll ever get to them. Because somebody there, filled with the devil, can stick a knife in your insides, watch you bleed to death, or shoot you down in cold blood murder. But some teenagers, they've just got to stick their tongue out and lick a little bit on that environment just really to see what it's like. It's evil. It's sour. It'll get you. It'll destroy you. And it'll make you feel awful bad. As for my people, children are their oppressors. What a day we're living in. When I think of the elderly people living in certain cities that can no longer get out of an evening after they've ate supper. Philip, come here. And hand in hand, walk the sidewalks, looking at the flowers in the neighbor's yard. Go for 3 or 4 blocks. Take a little evening exercise. Then go back to sit down before retiring for the night. When the sun goes down today, the kids come out to play. Carrying knives, guns, and it won't surprise me a bit. They'll soon be throwing multiple cocktails. Dad and mother, run! Because you won't want one of them things flowing into your car window. When kids have to do those things for a thrill, and it brings human life to a ruin, a torture, something ought to be done. Old people have to hide behind their doors. What a shame America used to not be like this. Or the rich, the politician with his security force. When he comes out of the White House, there's 3 on each side. When he goes to bed at night, they're asleep in the next room. The next wealthy, they've got a canine dog. The very ones who bred this evil thing up are able to protect himself. But the poor and the innocent cannot protect himself. You can sit down. All because some crazy liberal lawyer and a judge said, we'll not tolerate the citizens taking the law into their own hand. Well, I don't believe that either, providing those men are dedicated to the very office and the power they're supposed to be invested in by God. But I've said this, just as our poor brother, as I mentioned the other night. A Christian shouldn't have to talk like this. If it's actually Christian persecution, that's a different thing. But if it's just a bunch of devils out there wanting to have a good time on human life, over my bedroom door is a loaded .22 automatic rifle, and I've got a taped sign on it. This gun is loaded. All kids, keep your hand off of it. I'll holler twice to anybody comes through my door at night. I'll beg him to stay on the outside. But if I hear that glass crash and I see his profile in my house, you can rest assured they'll have to drag him out. That's bad for a Christian. You say, why talk like that, Brother Jackson? my founding fathers. My wife's founding fathers and some of your founding fathers that came here and helped settle this country. Carried musket rifles from home to church. Why? It wasn't the Jesse James on the road. Them Redskins. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Now don't go away and paint a bad picture about me. A lot of people think they know what this country is. You know very little. You know what the modernists say. Yes, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them.
Amen.
Are you against women, Brother Jackson? No, I got a sweet little wife sitting back there. She mothered 5 children. I love her. But we've got a bunch of women in this country. They hate a man. That's why they're the president of the bank. They're the president of industries. They're the head of the NOW organization, National Organization of Women, who helped to tear down the basic laws of home and buttress women and advocate lesbians and gay rights. And you got more women in this sex education program in our schools than you have men. It's here. It is here. And you try to buck up against some of these females. They're the ones that help get in child abuse. They're the ones that have established home for the abused. 40 years ago, we didn't need home for the abused. I can say this, brothers and sisters. I can't say this for Chicago. When Al Capone was there back in the early 30s, in the late 20s. But I can say this. I never heard when I was a child growing up, child rape. If it had, the neighborhood would have hung the critter. That Clark County jail wouldn't have kept them out of there. They would have hung the critter. But today, who's doing this? It's this bunch of stuff that's been bred up in the last 40 years to think in a perverted way. And their minds have been subjected to the devil. And when they're subjected to the devil in his onslaughts, you've got to accept the side effects of such liberal thinking and permissive way of living. Change the law of God. You'll have to pay for it. Oh, my people, they which lead thee, yes, cause thee to err and destroy the ways of thy paths. Brothers and sisters, I'll finish this message one of these days. But I'm not going to let you go home. Young people, get an education, but know why you go to school. Know why you go to school. Go to get an education. But learn this. I'll say this to any 13 or 14 year old girl or boy. You are responsible for your own conduct. You are responsible for how you let your fantasy, your emotions affect you. And don't say, well, it can't be wrong. It can't be that bad. Your day is coming. You'll cry and scream when you see the tragedy and the sorrow and the heartache. I've said this and I will close. Look what's going on in Russia. Some 70 years old communism. And you know what? I've said this years ago. Communism can't succeed as an ideology much beyond 100 years because it's self-destructive. It destroys human initiative. It takes away the drive to want to invent. Do you think my child has any need to invent something or another if the benefits of it is going to wind up in the state? What does that induce a young upcoming mind? If everything he does has to be turned over to the state, is that constructive?